Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to our first show in 2014. This is 2013, the year that was show. I am your host and radio health evangelist, Dr. Tony Weaver. Thanks to our listeners at True Talk Internet Radio, and to start the year off right, from the University of Kentucky, the telecommunications guru for University of Kentucky, Rick Phillips, will tell us about our brand new 2014 web presence that I'm sure in every way has completely changed since 2013.
Nope. If you were there yesterday or last year, it probably looks pretty much the same. So I wished I could tell you there was some major revamp, Tony, but thanks for outing us.
Okay.
If you want to go to those websites, you can go to WMKY.org. There you will find all, well, I just want to say all every time, but it's just not the case. You'll find a lot of health matters.
We have been pruned.
You know, it's only fair, though. You know, 10 years of shows would just gum up anybody's servers.
Yeah, I understand.
That's a technical term, gum up. You know, I just want you to know, okay. Tony? So, audio of the shows, WMKY.org, they're there. They're in MP3 format. There's a little show summary. You can kind of get a flavor of health matters. You can go listen to it, see where we're at in the current show run. Sign up for the podcast. You can get the link there on the site. You can go to iTunes and do a search for Health Matters. Look for the 60-minute show, not the 60-second show, and you will find us on the list there. If you're done listening and you want to interact with Health Matters, go to Facebook.com, do a search for HM Radio Show, or just put a /HM Radio Show on the end of the URL. And those of you that know what a URL is, just go do it. There on the Facebook page, you will find comments, you will find research, you will find some articles that we've run across that either are on the show or maybe they're not on the show, but it's time to maybe talk about them. And we're in between shows. You can send us feedback. You can request show topics, generally send us a message. Yes, we're not too humble to respond to your messages, and we do it quite promptly. So certainly go to Facebook.com/HM Radio Show and basically interact with the show.
Our sponsor for today's show.
The very first one of the year.
Be 12 Days of Christmas, because we still are in the 12 Days of Christmas, technically.
No. Well, it depends on when. Can't you start them before that?
No.
I thought the 12 days led up to Christmas.
Starts with the Nativity, ends with what they call the Theophany in some religions.
It's easy for you to say.
Yeah, the arrival of the Magi for some people, the baptism or christening for other people, the Yuletide feast, Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, all that ends on January 5th. They call it Old Christmas back in the Appalachian Mountains. And we are still in that. So it's a good time to talk about the B12 Days of Christmas. Plus, there is a new article out on B12 I wanted to mention.
This is new,
Yeah. First of all, vitamin B12 required for red blood cell formation for nerve function. And that is a key thing. Nerve function, memory, and also sensation. And also for DNA synthesis. It's bound to protein in food released by stomach acid. You have to have stomach acid to release B12 from the meat that you eat.
Wait, Tony. Don't we take a lot of pills to make our stomach acid go away?
Exactly, Rick, and that's coming up in our second fractional portion. Don't give it away just yet.
Well, I'm trying to tease.
That's right. Now, after the acid pulls the B12 out of the meat that you eat, it combines with something called intrinsic factor, which is a carrier protein that takes it into your bloodstream.
Is that like a carrier pigeon?
Yes, except it takes it into your bloodstream.
It doesn't take it into the air and over the
valve. That's correct. Okay. So you have to have stomach acid to get it off the meat. Now, if you don't have stomach acid, you can take B12 pills and you're okay.
This sounds really gross.
Yeah, but you also have to have intrinsic factor. If you don't have that, you're going to be very bad at absorbing B12. It's found in animal products, fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk, and milk products. It is not present in plant foods, so vegetarians do have a problem with this, but breakfast cereals can be fortified with vitamin B12. The Institute of Medicine recommends adults over age 50 obtain most of their B12 from vitamin supplements because about 10 to 30% of older adults drop their acid secretion and can't get it out of the meat anymore.
So why is that?
There's something called atrophic gastritis.
Well, yeah, it's easy for you to say.
Yeah, basically the stomach, the acid-making cells in the stomach atrophy, and they just don't make as much acid.
Hmm. Does that actually, like, change the way you eat because of that? I mean, do you as a person just start because you're changing? I mean, it just seems to me as we age, our eating habits change or reduce. Is that
right.
Some of it?
It could be, Rick. Now, it doesn't change the taste of the food, but if you don't have stomach acid, you may not be able to digest it as well. So the food may make you uncomfortable, and you may remember that your next meal. That's possible.
So your body itself trains itself not to eat too much.
But now, some other people will get into trouble before they get old. People with gastrointestinal disorders, inflammatory bowel disease, they can't get the vitamin B12 in. People who have had surgery, especially the obesity surgery, that alters their absorption of B12. Vegetarians, pregnant and lactating women who follow strict vegetarian diets need B12. The American Dietetic Association recommends supplemental B12 for vegans and lacto-ovo vegetarians during pregnancy and lactation because they will run out of B12. There are a couple of medications, proton pump inhibitors. These are the acid-blocking medicines.
We're going to talk about in the second fractional
portion. The purple pill. And also people on the popular diabetes drug metformin, if they've been on it over a long period of time, about 10 to 30% of people who take metformin may have reduced B12 absorption. That's our sponsor, the B12 Days of Christmas. We'll talk more about vitamin B12 in our second fractional portion. Now, we've got to review, and we've got now 8 minutes or less in this section to review 2013.
Which means you can't do it.
I can, too.
Skip. No, you can't.
All right, skip January. January of 2013.
Was not cold.
It was not cold. It was an okay month. Things were pretty normal.
Right.
And then in February, things started getting weird.
Only for a month, though.
Yeah, well, please. Let's just remind you, Rick. First of all, Super Bowl XLVII, Ravens beat the 49ers, but there was a 34-minute stadium blackout.
Yep.
Remember that?
Yeah, it cost the 49ers because they were looking good, and then all of a sudden Baltimore came back and put it on them.
Right. Well, it got even stranger on February 14th, 2 weeks later.
But you know, it didn't really matter, though, Tony, because I had Joe Flacco as a fantasy guy, but fantasy's over by the Super Bowl, so it really didn't matter.
You didn't care.
Right.
Did you care that there was a meteorite that exploded over Russia and injured more than 1,000 people, over 200 children, from the shockwave destroying glass structures, particularly in northern Siberia?
I'm really not trying to sound indifferent to that, but I didn't know.
You didn't know.
Neither did you.
The meteor exploded and evaporated about 30 miles above the Earth. No, I saw there were some videos of these whole side of a building, just all the windows just shattering from this shockwave. This thing was a 10-ton meteor.
Wow.
That it evaporated, but the shockwave caused a lot of damage. Remind you, February 15th, the next day.
You know what that was, don't you? The day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah, it was. Well, there were a bunch of Valentine's dreams ruined when the Carnival cruise ship had an engine fire. 4,200 people, 5 days adrift in the Caribbean, if you remember.
I remember that one. Didn't they dock that in Mobile, Alabama?
Yes,
and
they
people
did.
Came off and they had the cameras on them and they looked pretty worse
awful.
For the wear.
That's right. Nothing like raw sewage to ruin a romantic getaway.
But you know, 2013 in general, Tony, was a bad year for cruise ships. I mean, the one over in Italy laid over on its side.
Yeah, but that was a good thing, Rick. September 17th, we're talking about the Costa Concordia. It had been down on its side, 117,000 tons lying on its side since January 2012. And they were able to turn it up and lift it from the ocean, 117,000 tons, without even cracking the hull. It was an amazing feat of engineering, not U.S. engineering, but still an amazing feat of engineering. I consider that to be one of the high points of 2013 because something happened that was right.
I watched it. It was pretty cool to watch.
I thought it was very cool. Unfortunately, going back to the spring, we had the Boston Marathon blast. Excellent healthcare system, fully mobilized. Also, we learned that there are so many surveillance cameras and videos in the U.S., it's very hard to do anything anonymously, but 3 people killed, including an 8-year-old boy, 170 injured, and obviously some just absolutely horrific injuries. Not a good start to the summer. May, the Bangladesh factory collapse. You remember that?
Yep.
700 people died when that factory collapsed. May 20th.
I'll tell you what. Now, Tony, before you go, I'm going to try to delay you a little bit so that you have to go into the second fractional portion because, frankly, that's my job here. But, you know, we can talk about that catastrophe because it was certainly bad, but these are the things you have to look at when you start looking at how U.S. building codes and how we have all these rules and regulations about how we build things, and it adds cost. And yes, things get out of control sometimes, but you don't typically see stuff like that.
No.
And that's just because we have, as a society, decided that we're going to try to protect people from themselves.
Right. As a matter of fact, let me just move on that. On May 20th, a Category 4 1-mile-wide tornado hit Moore, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
destroyed
that was
the entire town. 24 people died. So exactly what you're saying. This was a horrific disaster, completely flattened the town, yet only 24 died.
Right.
And remarkable considering the amount of damage done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously some of that's, there is no real true early warning system. I mean, you can get notice and you can get, I mean, I think some of the systems now can get as much as 15 minutes. But man, when you're talking about getting out and getting safe, 15 minutes isn't a lot of time.
Yeah, we are learning. Now, on the other hand, it appears that the jet stream is weakening because we no longer have an Arctic. That is, you know, all the snow and the ice is melted.
It's a subarctic.
It's warming up, weakening the jet stream. So we're seeing tornadoes push us up into Canada. And we're seeing
they must love us for that.
Yeah, well,
remember we used to get their snow. Now they get our tornadoes.
Yeah, yeah. All those Arctic air masses. I guess it's time for payback. But I'd rather not change the Earth's climate to do it.
Every piece of firewood I ever caught was probably because of those Canadian wins.
I guess so. There you go. June 6th was the Edward Snowden, the NSA leaks problem.
Yeah.
Nobody died.
I honestly glazed over on that one.
Okay.
That one, you know, we had bigger problems in this country.
But you do remember being a pilot. Remember the 777 that crashed at the San
Francisco
airport?
Absolutely.
Three people died in that
one. That was Korean Airlines, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
In July, Detroit filed for bankruptcy. Nobody died, as far as we know.
Detroit?
Yeah.
The whole city.
Yeah. I guess Detroit died, but the people in it are still living. But in August, not so lucky. August 21st, opposition groups accused the Syrian government of attacking rebel areas with chemical weapons. As many as 1,000 people died in the attack, including many children, videos showed. That led, obviously, to us being able to collect those Syrian weapons. And that's one of the messages of 2013. Between the Iranian nuclear agreement and the Syrian chemical weapons agreement, we've been able to pull some, at least to make some progress on removing some very deadly weapons in a very unstable area. September, Kenya Mall attack. 72 deaths in shopping mall.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, don't see that here. October, U.S. government shutdown. Nobody died, but...
You know what it caused? It caused 3 weeks of terrible... I couldn't get my boat in the water at Cave Run Lake.
Oh, that's right, because they shut down...
They shut down the boat ramps. I couldn't even put a boat ramp, a piece of concrete. I was not allowed to use a piece of concrete because our government was shut down.
People are getting a little petty about that.
You know what? The thing is, Tony, this city thrives on tourism. We have a huge lake. We have one of the best musky lakes in the world, and they basically prevented access from it during the busiest, best fishing times for muskie in the year. It was awful. People wanting to come from all around couldn't. They didn't stay in the hotels. They didn't eat at the restaurants. And that was because of our federal government.
So muskie lived, though. Yeah. I mean, there were no muskie dying
right
during the U.S. government shutdown.
No. They were thriving.
November 7th, Super Typhoon Haiyan devastates the Philippines. This was actually the worst disaster of 2013 in terms of dead. Over 6,000 people died in that.
And you realize I did it, Tony. You realize I did it. You're going to have to talk more in the second fractional portion about last year.
I realize that. Now, one thing I would say, though, you know, we have gotten used to the fact that there are these disasters where there is absolutely nothing left.
Right.
And no infrastructure, nothing to even work with. Just
clean slate.
Yeah, and we are starting to learn how to handle those type of disasters with tremendous loss of life, and it's unfortunate that we do. It's also unfortunate that you're going to listen to our second fractional portion because we're headed for the break. You're listening to Morehead State Public Radio, Health Matters. Happy New Year.
Hello and welcome back. This is a second fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. This is 2013, the year that was.
But it's actually 2014, Tony.
Well, I'm sorry. The show is 2013, the year that was. We are, in fact, living in the present.
So how many days into the year will you keep writing the old year on your checks and stuff?
You know, I don't write hardly anything anymore. So I think it's going to move pretty fast. I will tell you, prescriptions, a couple of days in clinic, and you start to really get annoyed because you have to date all your prescriptions.
I was going to say, it usually takes me 5 to 6 days, and then it's gone.
Then you move on. 2013, I think, as I look back on my life, will not go down as one of my favorite years.
Oh, yes, it will.
No.
Granddaughter.
I had a granddaughter. Let's see.
Granddaughter.
Yeah, how much?
Trump card.
Okay. What a great year 2013 was, given all things.
Hey, family's happy, healthy, and you had a grandkid.
Yeah. Now, we were talking in the break, Rick, and you were upset with me because I left what you felt was a major achievement out of 2013.
For the human body, was pretty impressive if you think about it, and that was one, was it Felix Baumgartner, I think his name was, and he jumped from basically space. It was on October 14th, 2012. He was 39 kilometers. That's 24 miles for us that, you know, don't like the metric system. And basically hit speeds of 843 miles an hour on his way down. Can you imagine going 843 miles per hour, Tony? This show goes fast, but not that fast.
No, it's amazing. And you add to that. Okay, so we got the Costa Concordia, which is pretty neat. We got the Chinese moonshot.
But the Costa Concordia, let's face it, it negated itself because it sank in the first place.
Right. But the idea you can raise a ship of that size. The other thing is that Chinese moonshot. Now, we didn't talk about it in the U.S., but that was pretty darn neat.
Right.
That they were able to put together a moonshot. Sort of serves notice that we're not... That people have caught up.
Was it 50 years later?
Yeah, we're not the world leader in these things anymore. And I will give you that. Also, these deep divers, you know, we had a couple of death among the people that do this.
What, 400 feet they go, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
They go down, depending on whether they do free diving or do assists with weights or things like that. But they're holding their breath for 5 minutes. Their lungs, when they get down to the bottom, are half the normal size. Between that and falling 24 miles, some remarkable achievements going on. When you thought pretty much we knew what people were capable of, we were finding that we are capable of more physiologically and more technologically than we thought with our existing knowledge, which is pretty darn amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, the human body itself, apart from the human brain, I mean, is pretty amazing. And then you throw the brain on it, and it's just, it's...
I like throwing the brain on it. That's a good term.
Well, I'm, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The brain is pretty impressive all in itself. And then just what we've been able to do from a, like you said, the athleticism, the basic, what we've determined with certain new types of training styles and the way we can target certain types of muscle groups. And I don't know, it's just pretty impressive.
Before we go any further, our sponsor for the second time, the B12 Days of Christmas, reminding you B12, vitamin B12 is required for red blood cell formation, for nerve function and cognitive thinking function, and also for DNA synthesis. It is bound to proteins in the food, and this is primarily meats. It is released from bondage by stomach acid. Stomach acid sets the B12 free. Then intrinsic factor gathers it up and allows it to go into the bloodstream.
So intrinsic factor.
Intrinsic factor.
Now, doesn't that a weird phrase?
Well, that was something they named. Well, it was a
intrinsic. Something is intrinsic.
Yeah, it's inside you. It's an intrinsic factor. Obviously, this was named when there weren't a lot of other things to compete. Because, you know, we've talked about Perlecan Domain 5. We've talked about amyloid beta. Intrinsic factor was a much older protein. We said, okay, there's a thing there that's intrinsic that allows you to take it.
Shouldn't B12. We just rename it to Health Matters Factor?
It's too common. You know, we need to think of something. We need to discover something. And if anybody discovers
We've discovered. We've been on the show or the radio a long time.
Us, that would be great. But
haven't we discovered that? We've discovered that there's not much we haven't talked about.
Just about anything. That's what we've discovered.
Well,
true. Found naturally in animal products, including fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk, and milk products, not present in plant foods, and that can run into problems with vegetarians. The Institute of Medicine recommends adults over age 50 obtain most of their vitamin B12 from supplements or fortified foods because after age 50, about 10 to 30% of older adults will lose their ability to make stomach acid enough to liberate the B12 from meats. Now, we talked about medicines, if you remember. Two big medicines that can reduce your ability to absorb B12. One is the proton pump inhibitors. And these
the purple pills.
Yeah, the purple pills. I mean, over-the-counter, you can get Prilosec, the purple pill. You can also get Prevacid 24, I believe, over-the-counter. Prescription, there is Nexium, there is Dexilant, there is Acifex and Protonix. Those are the proton pump inhibitors, very strong acid suppression medicines. And it turns out, this was a study reported December 10th, looking at 26,000 Kaiser Permanente patients diagnosed with B12 deficiency in Northern California between 97 and June of 2011, compared them with 185,000 people without B12 deficiency, and they found the ones who had B12 deficiency were much more likely to be on proton pump inhibitors for their stomach acid. Matter of fact, if you're on a proton pump inhibitor more than 2 years, you've got a 65% increased chance of being deficient in vitamin B12.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's really not good. So if you're taking an acid-suppressing medicine, and it's dose-dependent, if you have to be on a high dose, taking it two or more times a day, you are more likely to be B12 deficient. So if you've been on acid-suppression medicines for 2 years or more, you really ought to get your vitamin B12 level checked.
Right.
And this is whether you get it over-the-counter and take it regularly yourself, or whether you're under a doctor's prescription order supervision. Either way, if you've been taking it a long time, you need to get your B12 checked because blocking stomach acid reduces the available B12 from the meats in your diet and might actually cause a deficiency. Again, 65% more likely after 2 years to be deficient than people who were not on these proton pump inhibitors. So that's our sponsor, the B12 Days of Christmas. Yes, we're still within the 12 Days of Christmas. It's a nice time to remind yourself, if you are on one of these medicines, get your B12 level checked. The problem is, if you wait for symptoms to show up, the first symptom is you become a little bit slower mentally and a little bit more forgetful.
What if you're already that way?
Yeah, that's what
like
I mean.
Like me. I mean, I don't know. I could be.
You could be.
My wife can't spot it.
Sure. Yeah, it would be a very difficult thing. Next thing you know, you got more numbness of your fingers, more numbness of your toes. You've got that, we call it neuropathy. The nerves have been damaged and your toes feel kind of numb and tingly most of the time.
So it's most of the time or all the time?
Right.
It's not
right.
Just like your arm goes to sleep.
Right. Your arm goes to sleep. That's, you should move your arm. If your arm stays asleep and you shake it to try to get it to get some feeling in it, then we're talking about some type of either a circulatory or nerve condition. And many times that nerve condition, or not many times, but sometimes that nerve condition can be vitamin B12 deficiency. And it's a shame that your hands are going numb, that you're not thinking as clearly as you used to. You have worse memory. And at that, you may or may not have low blood counts. All those things can come together. And in fact, you've got B12 deficiency. So my goodness, don't let yourself get that way. You need to be thinking very clearly because we got more stuff to talk about here on Health Matters.
And it's a brand new year.
And our sponsor, the B12 Days of Christmas. All right, so I'm going to leave 2013 as far as general events.
Why?
Because I ran out of general events.
It's the year-end show.
We're moving on to what the FDA did in 2013.
Nothing.
There were some things.
Wasn't 2013 is going to go down as the year of Obamacare?
You know, and I did not even put Obamacare in this show. It deserves a separate show. First of all, it may be that it takes till 2014 before people can sign up for it.
Maybe you had a glitch.
That could be. At any rate, the Obamacare section of 2013 has been delayed until 2014.
Actually, the segment of our website that has that isn't working right now.
That's right. Are we finished?
If you say so.
Do you want to say anything more about Obamacare? That's fine. I have nothing. I have no Obamacare material, but we can talk for an hour if we want to make jokes.
Isn't it one big joke?
And we've now, let me say, I'm working in the free clinic. I have seen some people. Many of our free clinic patients are eligible for Kentucky Medicaid. I have seen some people whose lives are about to change in a very big way.
And you know there are going to be those. You're right. I mean, we probably shouldn't trivialize that because it's certainly important. It just seems that we went way, way, way towards the complex end, and we've caused a lot of people a lot of grief.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Every other civilized country has figured out how to provide their citizens with health care for less money than we're doing, and we keep experimenting with new systems and methods that no one else is using rather than just look around. And I'm hoping things like this Chinese moonshot or this rise in the Costa Concordia, things that other countries do, and we'll actually get over this arrogance we have and start to look around at what's working at other parts of the world and ask ourselves, can we apply that here?
Are we allowed to call it Obamacare now?
Yeah.
I thought he didn't want anything named after him.
I think he has come to grips with it. And by the way, we may be a little Republican, we may be a little Democratic within the Health Matters broadcast group.
We try to be neither.
Yeah, but it's not for us, it's not political. If you want to call it the Affordable Care Act, it's fine. But Obamacare is something that I think people know more about. They recognize it.
All we know is it takes a long time to sign up.
Back to the FDA. Four important first-time drugs and devices were approved. I've got three of them that I thought were worth talking about. The first one was a drug called canagliflozin, and you may remember it. Invokana is the name of it. It is a treatment for diabetes. It is a sodium glucose transporter inhibitor. What it means, if you remember, Rick, this is a drug that just puts the sugar out into your pee.
Okay.
And so you have very sweet pee.
How would I know?
Higher risk of urinary tract infections is the main thing.
Ugh.
And it smells very sweet. And you only got 21 seconds, as you may remember, from our promo for this
show.
How many
times did you get your watch out?
Yeah. And so you've only got a little bit of time to pee that off. But I have a problem. I mean, it makes a lot of sense to put the sugar in your urine and get rid of it. It's a great idea. I am concerned about whether or not this drug is going to be effective at preventing complications and things like that. I'm not using it right now.
So what you're telling me is a lot of sugar, no matter whether it's going in or coming out, it's not a good thing.
Yeah, we'll see where it winds up. But it is a new drug with a new mechanism, and that's kind of exciting. In June, the first non-hormonal drug for hot flashes associated with menopause was approved. This is paroxetine. We know it is Paxil, the antidepressant medicine, but it appears to moderate somewhat. I will tell you, the agency advisory committee said it's too much risk for the benefit. Benefit is minimal. So either you take this drug Paxil and it makes you not as bothered by your hot flashes, it somehow helps you adapt to the hot flashes. Not that impressed, but it was approved. First non-hormonal hot flash drug. December. This, I think, is very exciting. It is a drug for hepatitis C. It's called Sofosbuvir. Sovaldi is the brand name on that. And we believe that this is going to make a major change in our outcomes for people with hepatitis C. You know, hepatitis C, 3.2 million people in the U.S. have chronic hepatitis C. More than 15,000 Americans die every year from hepatitis C. Three-quarters of the people with hepatitis C don't even know it. And they come in and their livers are completely gone because the hepatitis C has been causing chronic inflammation and scarring of the liver for many years.
Wow.
It's obtained through intravenous drug use mainly. It is hard to catch it sexually, but people who have had kidney dialysis, a few other things, can get exposed to it. If you take 100 people with hepatitis C infection, 75 to 85 will develop chronic disease, 60 to 70 will develop liver disease, 5 to 20 will develop cirrhosis, and 1 to 5 of those 100 people will die of complications of hepatitis C. Now, the Sovaldi has a higher cure rate than anything we've got now. We'll see if it pans out, but this could be an exciting improvement in treatment of hepatitis C.
I wished I could get as excited as you are about drugs. What is it about pharmaceuticals that just, I don't know.
Well, all right.
Just so wake me up when you're ready to go on with the
show. Sure, I understand. We had 6,000 people die in that typhoon in the Philippines. We have 15,000 that die every year of hepatitis C.
Right.
So you can see, I mean, if we could cut those rates
absolutely
by a third, then we've prevented a typhoon in a weird way.
Right. Right, without all the rebuilding.
Right. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. Well, there's a lot of lives at stake there.
I hear what you're saying. And, you know, frankly, I used to get so frustrated during all the bird flu and the swine flu and all that. We were talking about all this. Meanwhile, we got 5,000 people dying of flu, regular old flu.
Yep.
We're talking about the 8 or 10, but we're not really paying attention to the 5,000.
Let me give you a couple of other things we found out. One is azithromycin. That's your Z-Pak. For some people, it changes the EKG, and it predisposes to an arrhythmia called torsade de pointes, a very lethal arrhythmia. Fluoroquinolones, that's Cipro and Levoquin, they increase the risk of permanent nerve damage. Clarithromycin, we use it sometimes for stomach problems, but not much else. It's an antibiotic, really has a bad interaction with some types of blood pressure medicine. And then statins, the ones we use, I love those drugs, you know that. The ones we use for cholesterol have an increased risk of strains and sprains, musculoskeletal injuries. If you are taking a statin, you have a slightly higher risk of ankle strain and other muscle sprains, interesting enough. And then some very depressing news. 1 in 10 Americans now takes antidepressant medicines. Among women in their 40s and 50s, 1 in 4 is on medication. That's pretty scary. I don't like that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good.
I did see one FDA event. I actually saw it on TV last night. They're advertising now Oxytrol, which is an over-the-counter patch applied to the skin every 4 days for overactive bladder for women, the first over-the-counter medicine for overactive bladder. So it's a nice thing as well. It makes it a little bit more convenient, although those drugs are not that well tolerated. We had a couple of celebrities, I guess you would call it, to come out medically in 2013, Angelina Jolie.
Right.
BRCA1 mutation, which puts her at higher risk of breast and ovarian cancer. She had bilateral mastectomy.
Right.
And you will remember, I mean, you cannot be a guy and not notice this. The NFL, in January 7th, they found that the aging National Football League players in the issue of AMA Journal, JMA Neurology, they found that aging NFL players had a higher risk of mental cognitive depression than the controls. And in August, the NFL agreed to pay $765 million to settle lawsuits. Meanwhile, they have changed the rules regarding head hits and changed the approach to concussions. No longer do we say he got his bell rung, he got dinged, I guess he'll have to sit her out the next series. They take that very, very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of jokes. I listen to some morning radio shows, and there's a lot of talk. People want to start referring it to basically a flag football now. I mean, they've taken out a lot of the ways that people can get injured blindly. So you can't, you know, when the quarterback's sliding, you know, there are certain things you can't, you know, no targeting above. It just seems to me, you know, we're not going to cause any more concussions or there's going to be much fewer concussions, but it seems to me like we're going to have a lot of lower body injuries because they're going to start tackling low, and next thing you know, you're going to see a lot of knees, and I don't know, it's, I guess you got to ask yourself, what's the
what's
the end game here?
To my way of thinking, protecting the brain is very important. It makes you wonder about ultimate fighting and boxing. I mean,
right.
If the NFL says we cannot tolerate this, then what about those sports where the object of the sport is to cause concussions?
Right, to get them to pass out.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot of changes in the way we approach athletics. And then, speaking of celebrities, don't forget October, Tom Hanks, public with his type 2 diabetes diagnosis. Tom Hanks, a fairly healthy guy. I mean, again, 26 million children and adults in the U.S., 8% of the population has diabetes. And we know that being over age 45, family history, being overweight, not exercising, is a risk factor. There was a lot of speculation about his weight changes. In
right.
the movie Philadelphia and in Castaway, maybe he cycled his weight wrong. There is no evidence that weight cycling causes diabetes, but we do know that obesity does.
All I know is he was very good in the show Captain Phillips.
Yep, he was. He plays.
But then again, come on, let's face it. Any movie about Richard Phillips is going to be fabulous.
You're a big fan of Richard Phillips.
Yeah, there's two of them in my family that I know of. Plus, now I'm at a third one on the big screen.
Okay. You realize that there is a countering view that Richard Phillips, the captain, was really a scoundrel and kind of a publicity.
You didn't watch the movie.
I watched the movie. I actually did watch
the movie.
They
didn't make him out to that in the movie.
No. And apparently they were satisfied.
I believe the movies. I don't believe what I read.
I don't know. There were rumors and I think a lawsuit and the story was told, but there are apparently two sides of the story.
Yeah, there are, and they're wrong.
But I will point out to you that Tom Hanks, the diabetic, plays Walt Disney, who produced Mary Poppins, and one of the songs in Mary Poppins is "A Spoonful of Medicine Helps the Sugar Go Down." Right? Or something like that.
Yeah. You're almost right.
He's got a diabetic song in the movie that he's producing. It's an ironic twist of fate. That's what it is, an ironic twist of fate.
So were you going to talk at all about Michael J. Fox and his Parkinson's coming back into the TV series again?
You're just not happy. I picked some things that I think epitomized 2013. And Fox, he has had, obviously, had Parkinson's for quite a while.
Right.
I did not pick him out as a celebrity that came out in 2013.
But he came back out. He came back
He produced a pretty bad TV sitcom. Basically, he starred in a pretty bad TV sitcom.
I think the idea
was
he wasn't going to hide his Parkinson's anymore.
Yeah.
Because he'd always hidden it on screen.
Yeah, and kudos to him for all that he has done for Parkinson's, except that was really not a very good sitcom. Speaking of not a very good show, stay tuned for our third and final fractional portion. You're listening to Health Matters on Morehead State Public Radio.
Hello and welcome back. This is the third and final fractional portion of Health Matters. I'm Rick Phillips.
I'm Dr. Tony Weaver. We are saying goodbye and good riddance to 2013. This is 2013, the year that was. Our sponsor for the final time, the B12 Days of Christmas, reminding you of these facts about vitamin B12. It is required for red blood cell formation, for nerve function and cognitive, that is brain function, and also for DNA synthesis. It is bound to protein in food, and that it is set free by your stomach acid. If you can't make stomach acid, you can't set the B12 free. However, if it's added to fortified foods and dietary supplements, it's already in the free form, and that doesn't need stomach acid. Then, the free vitamin B12 combines with intrinsic factor, which Rick has decided we will rename Health Matters Factor, because intrinsic factor sounds stupid.
Right.
Health Matters Factor sounds so much...
better factor.
Whatever. Approximately half the dose of B12 is absorbed, but if you run out of this Health Matters Factor, or they used to call it intrinsic factor, the absorption slows dramatically. It's found naturally in fish, meat, poultry, eggs, milk, and milk products. It's not present in plant foods. Wow, did that hurt. It's not present in plant foods, but breakfast cereals are fortified, and there also are vitamins for vegetarians. The Institute of Medicine recommends adults over age 50 obtain most of their B12 from supplements. We do recommend a B12 supplement after age 50 because 10 to 30% of people over age 50 lose their stomach acid and can't liberate the B12 from the food that they eat. Other people will have problems with absorption. People who have inflammatory bowel disease, have had gastrointestinal surgery, including weight loss surgery. Strict vegetarians and vegans, pregnant and lactating women who are either vegetarian or vegan can get into big trouble. And supplementation is definitely recommended. The American Dietetic Association recommends supplemental B12 for vegans and lacto-ovo vegetarians during pregnancy and lactation. Couple of medicines we've talked about, proton pump inhibitors. It turns out the research was not earth-shattering, but they did take a large number of people and Kaiser Permanente, about 25,000 people with B12 deficiency over a period of 10 years, and they compared those to people who didn't have B12 deficiency, and they found there was a much higher rate of use of proton pump inhibitors. This is the purple pill. This is Prevacid 24. This is Prilosec. This is Protonix, Acifex, Nexium, and Dexilant. These are prescription and over-the-counter, very powerful acid-blocking medicines. They block the acid, the B12 absorption goes down. Also, metformin, which we love for diabetes, a very popular first-line diabetic pill, reduces the absorption of B12. 10 to 30% of people who take metformin for over a year or two will have decreased vitamin B12 levels. Now, again, it takes a long time to become B12 deficient. It's not something that happens immediately.
What's a long time? A
couple of years. That's why we talk about 2 years of proton pump inhibitors, 2 years of metformin, or as you get older and gradually lose the stomach acid, you will gradually become B12 deficient.
So by your definition, Health Matters has been on a long time.
It has, and it could be very well. It's deficient. We know that. We're just not certain what. Symptoms, fatigue, weakness, constipation, loss of appetite. Certainly none of us have had that. Numbness and tingling in the hands and feet, that's the neurologic symptoms. Cognitive symptoms, including difficulty maintaining balance, depression, confusion, dementia, poor memory, soreness of the mouth or tongue, and then finally, you can have low blood counts. And some of these symptoms are irreversible if they persist for a long time. So if you or someone you love is on those medications, let's just be sure about it. Get the B12 level checked. If you have B12 deficiency, be sure to treat it because the symptoms can become permanent even after you supplement. And by the way, there is no known adverse effects associated with excess B12 from food or supplements in healthy individuals. Because of that intrinsic factor, you can only absorb so much. It doesn't matter how much you put in your mouth, only so much will get in your system. So it is darn near impossible to overdose on B12. That's our sponsor, the B12 Days of Christmas.
I'm only going to be 6 days of Christmas.
Then you would have the wrong vitamin, Rick.
Okay.
And that doesn't even bother you.
Nope.
You know, you try to do a health-related program.
Would you like me to be 9?
But you want your audience to care.
You have to have B12 here.
Asa, could you check in the studio and see if there are other sidekicks available for health matters?
Oops.
It's 2014. It's time to change.
Yeah, like that's going to happen.
It's time to either change or care. I would say that. Anyway.
You still need a ride to the station every time.
There were two. Thank you very much for that. There were there were two guidelines that I thought were, one hit or miss, I guess, but two guidelines that came out that I thought were of general interest in 2013. Back in May, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM-5, came out, and we talked about it at the time. You may remember, they decided to replace the term mental retardation.
Right.
Because people called other people retards, and when you can insult someone with their diagnostic
right.
term, they need to change. It has been changed to intellectual disability or intellectual development disorder. Hopefully people won't yell that across the street
right.
to people they don't like. Autism spectrum was changed. Binge eating disorder is now an official diagnosis. Also, there is disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. We call that Rick Phillips disorder, people who get very angry. Behavioral outbursts 3 or more times per week for more than a year. Negative, irritable, angry, teenage kid syndrome, we call it.
Yeah, and I'm about to go crazy on you.
Yep. That's the sort of thing we are exactly talking about.
You're going to have my intrinsic factor all over you.
They changed some things about the diagnosis of OCD. They added post-traumatic stress disorder. And also, there was something called the bereavement exclusion. That is, you could not diagnose depression in a person who was grieving. And they said, oh, yes, you can. And you may need to start treatment for depression earlier in a person who is experiencing loss. The other thing, dementia, it's an acceptable alternative. But neurocognitive disorder is a better term because, again, you can't yell that across the street at people. And then finally, as we noted, internet gaming disorder is a distinct type of gambling disorder in DSM-5. So we have now a new overall rubric for psychiatric diagnosis as of May.
And how did that impact you?
Well, I will say it seems that it stuck. That is, we did not rebel against that.
You know, it seems to me we didn't rebel against much.
I will tell you one thing we did rebel against, though. In November, the American Heart Association, American College of Cardiology, revised our treatment of cholesterol with new guidelines for cholesterol-lowering medicines. We put these on Health Matters. And I was surprised. They just came out, and I thought, wow, I didn't know anything about these. So there were 4 questions. Do you have heart disease? If you have heart disease, you should be on one of these statin-lowering medicines. And again, the statins are medicines like Lipitor, Crestor are the two most common name brands. But also there is one called Pravacol or Pravastatin, which is generic and very cheap. It's $4 at most places. And one called Zocor or Simvastatin, also very cheap. Second question, do you have bad cholesterol levels higher than 190? You should be on one of these drugs. Third question, do you have diabetes between ages 40 and 75? The fourth question was the interesting one. Is your 10-year risk of heart attack or stroke greater than 7.5%? And they developed a risk calculator. Now, what I didn't realize at the time was the American Heart Association and the American College of Cardiology got these guidelines in June. They were punted from the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute because they ran out of money. Mm. They said, would you please help us publish these guidelines? And so the American College of Cardiology, American Heart Association said, well, yeah, they're finished, right?
Right.
And the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute said, well, sort of, but you probably want to review them. They did review them, but they didn't realize that that darn calculator was outdated and wrong.
Right. I remember that. We talked about that a little bit.
Right. And Steve Neeson at the Cleveland Clinic, he said this was a catastrophic guideline. It results in too many people being classified as needing these drugs. And I know the American Society of Clinical Endocrinology and American Lipid Society also has not endorsed these guidelines. And I think they're on their way towards sinking. And it's kind of interesting. They sank basically because the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute was underfunded and not able to comprehensively produce a guideline. Now, the question is, if they couldn't do that, and it took them several years to look at it, are we going to actually have any authoritative guidelines that actually make sense anymore? Do we simply no longer
have the
funding
available?
Why'd
you throw in the make sense?
Well,
because, I mean, we could do one or the other. It's going to be tough to do both.
Well, I think, yeah, we will. I'm sure people will continue producing guidelines. But if we don't have enough money to actually support the study that's needed to put these things together, this is a major setback. It really was. Because now we're running off of cholesterol treatment guidelines that were around 2001, 2002. ATP3 guidelines are the ones we were using. And these were supposed to sort of take their place. Now, a lot of us have moved on, but there is not now an officially endorsed universal set of guidelines for treating cholesterol. So there's a lot of variation in the way we treat cholesterol.
Hmm.
That's okay. But I'm kind of surprised after they did spend a lot of money on these, they didn't get any traction at all. Next up, speaking of attraction, we talked about this some, I think, maybe a couple of shows ago, but I thought it was time for us to, this is an important aspect of 2013. This was in the Lancet Diabetes and Endocrinology, December 5th, 2013, a comprehensive review of observational studies and randomized trials of vitamin D and health outcomes. 290 cohort studies, 172 randomized clinical trials, 34 intervention trials where they actually tried treating people with vitamin D supplements. No effect on outcomes. Very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
Because here's what we thought. We looked at all these observational studies, and it was clear that people with low vitamin D levels had worse health.
Right.
And we thought, well, if we can supplement that vitamin D levels, we'll be fine.
Right.
It turns out it looks like vitamin D is a marker of poor health, but not necessarily the cause of the events. We were trying to use vitamin D to prevent heart disease, to prevent cancer, to prevent high blood pressure, to prevent diabetes, to prevent infectious conditions like the flu.
We were all over it.
Yeah, because low vitamin D levels have been documented in each of those conditions, and yet we found we couldn't. Now, it's still clear. Let me make this absolutely clear. Vitamin D and calcium help protect your bones if you have brittle bones. Vitamin D may prevent falls in elderly people. There's one study that shows that, but it's a little bit uncertain how confident we can be of that. And I don't want those people pulling off their vitamin D supplements. If you are, in fact, low, it makes sense to supplement up. But it does not make sense for the population of people to take vitamin D to protect their heart, to prevent diabetes, or to prevent infectious conditions. It simply doesn't work. And that's really a disappointment, to be
honest. That was really disappointing, too, wasn't it? I mean, that was just really, really disappointing.
Because this was the best observational evidence I had ever seen for a vitamin.
Right.
I thought, this has to be. It just simply makes sense. And yet, nothing.
Nothing.
Didn't get what I wanted.
You know, Tony, is that all you got for 2013?
No, I got one more thing.
You got one more thing? Something actually happened to Health Matters in 2013, as I recall.
Okay. Go ahead.
Can we talk about that last?
Sure. No.
Let's talk about it last.
Okay. All right.
Just save me a minute.
All right. Now, again, vitamins took a hit. We're talking about B12 supplementation over age 50.
Right.
Makes sense.
Right.
We're talking about D supplementation plus calcium if you have brittle bones. Maybe if you're older and you have a tendency to fall, maybe that's a good idea. We are not talking about D vitamins for everybody. We're not talking about testing every disease and every condition for vitamin D. We do not think vitamin D prevents cancer. Now, the Annals of Internal Medicine, about the middle of December, they were doing a review for the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force on multivitamins in general.
Right.
And there was an editorial there, and I just want to read some sections from this editorial.
Now, you don't want to preface this by saying we told you so a year and a half ago?
Yeah, we have been advising, and Health Matters has been advising people to stay away from multivitamins. Multivitamins do not appear to prolong life expectancy. As a matter of fact, they may make you more likely to die.
Do you think to some extent they're a placebo for people? I mean, they make you feel like you're better?
They make you spend a lot of money.
Well,
and that's,
if you don't
that's
know it, you feel better.
Yeah. But at any rate, the title of this editorial, Enough is Enough, Stop Wasting Money on Vitamin and Mineral Supplements. Now, I could stop right there, but I'm just going to read it again. Enough is Enough, Stop Wasting Money on Vitamin and Mineral Supplements, says the Annals of Internal Medicine. Now, here's what they say. A couple points here. First, they looked at the trial evidence to update the Preventive Services Task Force recommendation on primary prevention with vitamins in people with no nutritional deficiencies. Now, it's important. If you have a low vitamin level, fix that. There's no reason not to fix that. But if you have no nutritional deficiencies, you have a normal gut, you're eating normally. 3 trials of multivitamin supplements, 24 trials of single or paired vitamins, more than 400,000 people, there was no clear evidence of a beneficial effect on all-cause mortality, heart disease, or cancer. They looked at a daily multivitamin to prevent cognitive decline. 6,000 people, that was the Physician's Health Study 2. After 12 years of follow-up, no difference. That includes multivitamins, B vitamins, E vitamins, C vitamins, and, unfortunately, omega-3 fatty acids fish oil in people with mild cognitive impairment. None of the supplements improve cognitive function. Sorry, no. Did not work.
So I quit taking mine.
3. Looked at potential benefits of a high-dose 28-component multivitamin in 1,700 men and women with previous heart attacks. Followed up over 4 years, no difference in recurrent heart attacks in the multivitamins compared with placebo, but that wasn't a great trial. Other evidence, other guidelines, other reviews have consistently found negative, or they call it null results, that is zero effect, or even possible harms. When you look at beta-carotene, vitamin E, and high doses of vitamin A, they have been found to be toxic. Other antioxidants, folic acid, B vitamins, no clear benefit. So here I'm going to read word for word a couple of paragraphs from the editorial. The message is simple. Most supplements do not prevent chronic disease or death. Their use is not justified. They should be avoided. The message is especially true for the general population with no clear evidence of deficiencies in nutrients who represent most supplement users in the U.S. and other countries. Antioxidants, folic acid, B vitamins are harmful or ineffective for chronic disease prevention, and further, large prevention trials are no longer justified. Don't even study it, is what he's saying. Vitamin D supplementation is an open area of investigation, particularly in people who have deficiencies. Clinical trials have been equivocal and sometimes contradictory. For example, supplemental vitamin D may prevent falls in older people. We talked about that earlier. Although future studies are needed to clarify the appropriate use of vitamin D supplementation, current widespread use is not based on solid evidence that benefit outweighs harms. You got to recognize that. Supplement if you're deficient, but no evidence that widespread use of vitamin D supplements benefits you. In conclusion, final paragraph, we believe the case is closed. Supplementing the diet of well-nourished adults with most vitamin or mineral supplements has no clear benefit and might even be harmful. These vitamins should not be used for chronic disease prevention. Enough is enough. And speaking of enough is enough, Rick, you've got some things to say and get us out.
No. All I'm going to say is 2013 for you should be the year of the musical. Because that was the year that Health Matters submitted a musical and received a little bitty award thanks to our wonderful producer, Asa Hosoda.
We've been on the air for 10 years, and we thought, why not do something incredibly stupid? And so we gave her a musical salute to your colon, and somehow she turned that into an award-winning radio show, and we're very proud of her for that.
That's the way 2013 is going to be for Health Matters.
So overall, a granddaughter and a radio show award, our first. It was a good year.
It was a good year. Special thanks to Morehead State Public Radio producer Asa Hosoda and to Eric Bilbrey, who wrote our Health Matters theme song, and to you, our loyal radio fans. Remember to show your support for Health Matters by visiting our digital empire. To listen to the show, go to WMKY.org or visit us on Facebook. Just do a search for HM Radio Show.
For our radio crew and the supportive folks at the Northeast AHEC, thanks for listening to our show. And remember,
the FDA has approved the use of Health Matters for the following conditions:
acute bacterial exacerbations of chronic pulmonary disease,
acute bacterial sinusitis,
community-acquired pneumonia,
pharyngitis or tonsillitis,
uncomplicated skin and skin structure infections,
genital ulcer disease,
urethritis and cervicitis.
Recently, the FDA issued a statement acknowledging a medical journal report which found an increased risk of cardiovascular death in patients listening to Health Matters.
According to the study, this cardiovascular death risk, as well as death from any cause, was higher than those who listened to Front Page or Mountain Edition or no radio shows at all.
This research found that 85 out of every 1 million, that's right, 1 million shows of Health Matters were associated with cardiac death, which is over twice the death rate of the alternative radio show.
The FDA explains that Health Matters belongs to a class of radio shows called macrolides, which have been associated with cardiovascular effects, especially prolongation of the QT interval. The QT interval is the measure of the time between the beginning of the Q wave and the end of the T wave in the heart's electrical cycle. Prolongation of the QT interval can lead to potentially fatal abnormal heart rhythm issues such as torsade de pointes.
The FDA warns patients not to stop listening to Health Matters without first speaking to a healthcare professional. The FDA is looking at the results of this study and will release any new information that comes out of their review.
Whatever you do, do not take Health Matters lying down. Get out this week, make a healthy change in your life, and tune in next week for our exciting series on the health benefits of procrastination on Morehead State Public Radio.